Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
It is Monday, and on Mondays here on the Street Knowledge podcast, we talk with Rod Mullins about NASCAR, and we've got Kurt Busch in victory lane at Kansas Motor Speedway, and down the stretch, outdueling Kyle Larson, and victory for the Jordan Brand car. Rod, take us into the race and how things shook out.
Well, I mean, this kind of race right here was anybody's to win at one point or another. But I think the biggest story of this race was Goodyear's tire. Goodyear had so much trouble, or at least the drivers felt like that they were having trouble with Goodyear's product that they had arranged for them to have at the track. I'll tell you right now, Chase Elliott is probably not one of the biggest fans right now of Goodyear tires, after what happened to him. And then you had some other ones. Gosh, what happened? I mean, they couldn't get, I think, in one of the Eric Jones, I believe, was one of the drivers. They tried to get that main lug nut off of the lug with the lug wrench. Couldn't get it off. They brought in, I don't know how many different tools to try to get it loose. He ended up losing something like two or three laps just sitting there in the pits while the race was going on, because they couldn't get the tire loose, you know, the lug on there to where they could get it off and change the tire. And it put him back on the track, and he was three laps down. But the biggest thing that happened, I think, was a lot of left rear tires going down on these cars, whether it was a Ford, Chevrolet, or Toyota. And the proof of what happened was that spin that Chase Elliott did. How in the world he managed to save it without it going back up on the track and hitting a wall or something was just beyond me. But I'll tell you right now, if your ears don't normally bleed red when you're listening to this podcast, imagine if you're Chase Elliott's pit crew right now. Their ears were bleeding probably after Chase Elliott's tirade on the radio telling his crew that they had given him another piece of you-know-what car this week at Kansas. He was not a happy camper. And, in the end, Kurt Busch picks up his first win for 2311 Motorsports, carrying the Michael Jordan, Air Jordan brand design on the outside of the car that, you know, to me, it was almost like it was choreographed. The story was just put together. Here, Kurt Busch, you know, it wasn't a matter of wondering when he was going to win. It was a wonder of when was the time going to be right? You know, how quickly could he win? It took him a little longer than he had in some of his previous starts with Penske and with Roush, but he still managed to pull off an impressive win. And it kind of gives you a little bit more of an understanding now why Michael Jordan had belief in Kurt Busch all along to sign him and get him on that team after Chip Ganassi and everything folded up and then became Trackhouse Racing. It became a telltale sign that they got a good driver when they picked him up.
So you mentioned this is Kurt Busch's first win with 2311. It's also just the second win for the team. Bubba Wallace won a rain delayed race or rain shortened race last year. It was interesting reading some comments from Denny Hamlin. So Denny Hamlin, of course, is in the weird spot of being a driver for another team and being co-owner of this team. But after the race, Hamlin said, and I'm reading this here, you know, we as an organization kind of let these guys down. I'm talking about Bubba and Kurt, all the mistakes we've made on pit road and whatnot. But let's talk about the positives. I can't thank Kurt enough. That's interesting. Interesting revelation there that basically, you know, he's saying we've got good drivers. We just as a team haven't quite put it all together yet until, you know, this win on Sunday.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, they've had things that have happened off and on pit road that have taken them out of consideration for, you know, races. And then you've got to say, too, Bubba Wallace has had some incidents where he's been hit, taken out of a race. Kurt Busch, likewise, here a week or two ago, he was turned around in the race driving the McDonald's colors. You know, they've had a lot of bad luck. But this team, they have handpicked this team. But Kurt Busch seems to be the guy right now that has the best PR about the whole thing. And he says, I can't win without my guys. That's the way he kind of just turned it immediately. He said, I can't win without these guys. And I've got to have them every week. And yeah, we've had some things happening and stuff, but he says, you know, I wouldn't trade these guys for anything in the world. They've been the best thing to me during my time of racing. They bared with me during all these problems. He was on top of his game yesterday in the interview. He was so tickled with the win. I mean, I was just really happy. Whoever the Boo Birds were that were out there in the crowd when he was talking with Jamie Little on Fox Sports, I was amazed. I mean, most of the crowd was cheering for him. They were just having a big ruckus over Kurt Busch winning this race. And then you had a couple of Boo Birds out of it, I guess, that haven't forgotten he was the poster boy and the model for Kyle Busch. As Kyle was coming up through the ranks there earlier, he's become a great racer. I think he has become an even better ambassador, so to speak, for NASCAR.
I think one thing I liked about the storylines from this race, there was some good hard racing between Kurt Busch and Kyle Larson. A couple of times they were, I wouldn't say either bumping, but there was some hard driving. And after the race, instead of like we've seen in recent weeks from some other guys, Kyle Larson was asked, hey, what do you think about that? And he was given a couple of opportunities to sort of throw Kurt Busch under, and he didn't. He said, hey, this is just hard racing. I mean, so I think that's a good sign. I mean, you know, Kyle Larson is basically saying, I was trying hard, he was trying hard. That's just how things happen sometimes.
Yeah, and he was right. He said that Hendrick gave him what he called a war machine yesterday to last through what he had encountered in that race yesterday. So, yeah, you've got to say that there was some good hard racing between him and Kurt Busch in the final stages of the race. But, you know, I think everybody had their attention on yesterday more than anything else. The Joey Logano and the William Byron feud, they were hoping that they were going to see this go another step, mainly because of some of the comments that Joey Logano's had in the last couple of days. And some of those comments have not been very flattering at all. It's not something you would see or you would want to see out of a driver. It's almost like you're tempting fate when you're doing this. This is like going into a bar and you're saying, I'm going to whip the first person that comes up to me and says that, you know, they can take me or something like that. And you end up getting a short person, and the short person doesn't look like they can do much of anything, but they're usually the guys you've got to watch out for in a bar fight. So that's the way I'm kind of looking at it. You've got Joey Logano, who is challenging everybody, William Byron, who's kind of like the short guy on the stick. And he's like, you know, you're going to push it too far and we're going to end up seeing something happen. And I don't know if that's going to be just between those two, or it could be between Hendrick taking it out on Logano. Who knows how this whole thing is going to play out.
You talked about the tire issues earlier. When I was researching this today, the director of racing for Goodyear talked about the tire issues too. And basically, I mean, they recognize this in practice, and the advice was given, hey, you know, put more air in the tires, basically, to try to deal with this. I mean, is this particular to the track, I guess, or what's the issue there?
Yeah, it's particular to the track, and it's also the driving conditions. You know, I didn't catch, you know, really what the temperature was yesterday out there, but there's a lot of factors that go into equalizing that tire out. And once that tire, if it's either filled, if it's, you know, cold, if it's one of those cold races and the tires are cold when they start out and it's kind of cold in the air, you're going to lose a little bit of air on them. Sometimes you won't lose air, but sometimes you will. And, you know, considering this was probably a kind of a warm day, I wouldn't say it was exactly cold or anything, but you've got to keep that to maintain that tire pressure in those tires. And that's one of the things that the Goodyear head had mentioned. He said, you know, based upon practice and based upon some of the troubles that some of the drivers were having, I think Chris Buescher had to go to a backup car because he slammed the wall during Saturday practice. You know, here it is. This is what happens. This is what you have to do. And I don't know if some of the teams just didn't take it to heart, or they had it and then just something happened to the tire. There's going to be a lot of discussion on that, I think, in the weeks to come, to see what went wrong with that tire and why that tire failed them the way it did so many times over the weekend.
So the regular season takes a break this weekend. We got the All-Star race in Texas coming up. What? So talk about this all-star race, who gets to participate. You know, I know the stakes are there. You want to win every race you can in an all-star mm-hmm. race, especially, but what are the stakes as far, I mean, nothing of this counts towards the points for the season, right?
No, none of this counts toward points, but it does help you a lot if you've got a grievance to settle with somebody along the way. So if you're in that particular point where you can go and settle a grievance and pay up on it, probably the All-Star Race is one of those good opportunities to do so. Of course, we've already talked about Byron. We've talked about Logano. I'm sure that may be front and center. That may be one of those that it could get settled if they do end up bumping into each other on the All-Star Race night when they do race coming up on the I'm trying to remember. That's going to be on the it's going to be on the 23rd, I believe, or maybe a little bit later than that. I take that back, but it's about they take a week off this week. And then, of course, we'll come back the next week and then go to Charlotte for the Memorial Day race. But, you know, this is the non-points race. It's more for winning the big bucks, trying to win the big bucks, and, of course, showing that you've got probably one of the most resilient teams that's on pit road, being able to get you back out there and to get you into a position where you can win. We've seen a lot of great all-star races over the last, 30 or 35 years that this thing has been in effect. I had a chance to see the one race at Bristol when, we were in the COVID situation that we were in here about a year or two ago. Great race. First time I had seen an all-star race in person. I loved the idea that running at night and they had lights underneath the car. I thought that was just tremendous. Don't know what they're going to go with this time around, but NASCAR has announced there will be some changes with the format this time around, and they're going to allow so many people in. Of course, they have heat races to kind of determine who's going to be a part of the first couple of races that will go on to decide who's going to win that $1 million that they give at that final race. So you've got drivers like Eric Jones, some others out there that haven't won so far on the season, throw in Chris Buescher, probably Ricky Stenhouse Jr., that will try to race their way into one of the main heat races. And then they will invert the field again, and they'll turn around and do something else with the other so many cars that'll be running to try to get into those heat races. And then they'll try to fill about a 30 to 35 car, you know, field to try to run for that final big race that they'll have for the All-Star Race.
So a chance to, $1 million is $1 million. And then there's a chance to address some grievances and, you know, also, I guess, just another chance to learn a little bit more about racing in 2022 for the teams that are off. They can maybe use that time to not just lick wounds, but also to, examine the engineering and learn more about their cars with that week off. So a little bit of chances of stuff for everybody out there.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a prime situation for them to be able to see how far they can go with changes or what they need to change on this race car. And then, of course, going into Charlotte, because Charlotte will be the first major league test of this next generation car that they will have. So we'll see how well it holds up. It's done well in all the other tracks that they've run so far, but Charlotte, it's just one little step, step further. It's not 400 miles. It's not 500 miles. This is 600 miles, and nobody else on the circuit runs 600 miles in the season except for Charlotte. It's reserved only for that track. And so, we'll see. They're going to have time to be able to adapt, adjust, and see what's making this car work or what's not making it work for them. But everybody else, you could say some of the smaller teams, like the Trackhouse Racings and the 2311, even though they're getting backing and so forth, cars and parts from Joe Gibbs Racing, they're still – some of these smaller teams, they're starting to benefit from this car. I see more than anything else, there is so much parity now in the sport as opposed to what there was maybe about 3, 4, maybe even 5 years ago, I guess probably about the time that we even started this podcast. There's more parity. I think in the sport now with these teams, you just don't know who's going to win on a given Sunday when they go out and race.
That's when I talk to NASCAR fans and we talk about the season, this season particularly, That's the exciting thing is you don't know. It may be in years past, you have only had a few people that would be there week to week, but now it's wide open and literally wide open. Anybody from one to whatever can win a race on any given Saturday or Sunday.
Well, and it makes me scratch my head too, because the ratings, you'd mentioned this before, the ratings have been good on the NASCAR races so far. Darlington didn't perform maybe as great as some of the other races that had happened earlier in the season, but they are measuring it against Formula One, and they have noticed that there is a big, drastic change in the demographics. And you've got a lot of people that's above 50, 55, my age group, I'm sorry, but in that 50s age group that's going through there, that's really attracted to the sport again. They are following the sport and they're enjoying it. This is where the problem lies. It's in the young people. It's starting about, you know, right after the teenagers from graduation from high school on up 18 up to, I think, about 35. They have actually lost an audience there. Now, that kind of surprises me, considering at Bristol, you saw a lot more young people at Bristol. I saw a lot more young people at Bristol than I had seen in previous races there. But I mean, you just keep on asking that question, where are these guys getting these numbers at? I think NASCAR is probably at par right now with Formula One. Of course, Indy hasn't really kicked into full gear yet. That'll be coming up with the Indianapolis 500. But, you know, Indy is kind of just set there. It's kind of holding its own for right now. NASCAR is trying to pick back up and head back to the top again and dominate in the ratings. And Formula One has suddenly taken some interest of some people here in the United States. And that's what's kind of surprised me.
Yeah, great points there. When I look, the ratings for this week, the comparison ratings aren't out. I'll look at those tomorrow. But for the Darlington race, as you mentioned, NASCAR 2.6 million overall viewers, Formula One 2.1 million. But in the demographic that determines how much money one makes, yeah, the 18 to 49 graphic. I am about to age out of that too, Rod. I'll be 50 in a few weeks here. So I'll no longer be, I won't count anymore to this graphic, but 735,000 viewers for Formula One, 517,000 for NASCAR. So that's where the money's made. The old guys like us, for whatever reason, I don't have to say, I think us older guys have a little bit more money to spend. You think they might want our dollars too, but the way advertising rates are set for TV, they set them based on the 18 to 49 ratings. So great overall viewer numbers, but yeah, get more younger people watching.
Well, I'll tell you this, if the win by Kurt Busch doesn't give some sort of an injection into that age group with that Air Jordan scheme on there and showing that Michael Jordan is full blast into this NASCAR sponsorship deal or ownership deal, then some of these kids are missing out. I'm just going to be honest with you. Jordan is still a name that people hold in high regard. And you may not see enough, a lot of Air Jordan shoes out there, but there's a lot of Air Jordan merchandise through Nike. And that's just another drop in the bucket there for Nike, if they can pick up more people, because that just adds money on to the coffers for them, for Michael Jordan to make more money. I mean, what is it? Michael Jordan has this lifetime, I guess it's a lifetime deal with Nike for till, you know, the day he dies. Of, you know, his Air Jordan specialty products is what he will have. And so I think the race from Sunday was a big shot in the arm for that age group right there that they need to try to improve on. And you may see some more sponsors kind of leaning in that direction after they saw the big win by Bush on Sunday.
A good observation about the NBA crowd skews young. I mean, even their 12th rated game last week had 1.5 million viewers under the age of 50. So
yeah,
that victory, you said this earlier, Rod, it seemed like it was almost set up this way, but the win by the Jordan brand car can't hurt NASCAR.
No,
if that happened it can't. That way.
But I wonder too, how much longer Denny Hamlin is going to hold into this thing, because there's that pressure there. And I kind of knew this was going to happen. It's hard to be a car owner or a park car owner and then be a driver full-time for Joe Gibbs, even though you may have the agreement to have engine parts or you may have chassis, whatever, from Joe Gibbs. You know, sooner or later, you're kind of like the ties that bind you, so to speak, are going to get tugged on pretty hard. And we saw a little bit of that. You know, Denny Hamlin got emotional after that race yesterday. He was trying to find the words without getting so choked up about what that race and that win yesterday meant to him. Forget about Bubba Wallace when he won that race. That was a kind of a rain shortened event. This was one of those where they stuck through to the very end. And to him, that was probably a little bit more of a greater achievement than what Bubba Wallace pulled off here just a year or so ago. So, I mean, it could have some bearing on it. And I wonder how much longer he's going to stay with it. But we have to remind ourselves, Chris Gabehart came out in headlines here, I think, about 2 weeks ago when he said, we're the most dangerous 22nd place team car in the field right now in NASCAR. And I had to laugh at that because I'm like, you're the most dangerous 22nd place car in the field. Y'all got a lot of work to do if you're all going to, you know, cover some ground here and pick back up. He needs a win. Denny Hamlin needs another win there till he can pull something off.
Yeah, that's right. It's got to be tough wearing both those hats, just to say the least. Being the star point guard for one team and being the owner of another team, you know, in a sense. I mean, it's, you know, you're playing for the Warriors and you own part of the Celtics. I mean,
yeah,
it's gonna come to a head at some point. And maybe
yeah.
It is for him. And that's why we're seeing him struggle this year behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rod, as always, thank you for your time and your insight. Look forward to having you back next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.